Let's get away with you this evening. Somebody told me once they thought I wasn't all there, so maybe maybe that's the case. Anyway, I want to read the Word of God tonight, three short passages of Scripture. First of all, in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4, I'm reading in verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Now, turn over to the New Testament, please, to the Epistle to the Hebrews. Chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse number 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And finally, in the little epistle of Jude, and verse number 11. Jude, verse number 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. The Lord, we know, will add a blessing to the reading of his word. The basic text for the service this evening is this short statement in the book of Job, or the book of Jude rather, the book of Jude, verse number 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now, from Genesis chapter 4 we learn that Cain was the firstborn son of Adam and Eve. And you'll notice in that first marriage union, it was not Adam and Adam. It was not Eve and Eve. It was Adam and Eve. And that is the principle that God has laid down for marriage union and relationship, in spite of what modern thinking today might be. It was man and wife, Adam and Eve. And they had been promised that the seed of the woman would destroy satanic intelligence. And of course, Eve immediately thought when Cain was born that he was the promised seed. But before her days were over, she learned that that was far from being the case. This boy would prove to be the breaking of a mother's heart. The first murderer in history. The first person to bring disgrace and trouble to the family doorstep. In her thinking that he was the promised deliverer, we learn, of course, a tremendous lesson. That many have proclaimed themselves to be the Messiah, but have proved not to be so. Jesus said that many would come in his name, but they would only be deceivers. And in the world of recent times, there have been many professed Christs who, of course, were counterfeits in abundance, emissaries of the devil. And then on the other side of the coin, the believer needs to be careful as we anticipate the end times. Careful not to get carried away by trying to identify the Antichrist, the coming man of sin. You see, the Bible says that there will be many Antichrists, but the coming man of sin, the Antichrist, cannot be revealed until the church has been raptured and removed. You see, some thought that Hitler was the Antichrist. Some thought Napoleon was the Antichrist. Some thought it was Idi Amin, or Saddam Hussein, or Henry Kissinger, or even the Pope of Rome. But no, the Antichrist will not be known while the church is on the earth. So what a waste of time is useless speculation trying to identify a person who cannot be identified as yet. Now it seems that Eve may have learned her lesson early. For her next son, Abel, was given that name which means vanity. Eve could have said with the writer of Ecclesiastes that all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Well, the two boys grew up together, and Cain became a very successful market gardener, whereas Abel became a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a farmer, a son of the soil. Philip says that he reveled in the soil until the soil was in his soul. Whatever may have been said about Cain, he certainly was not a lazy man. He was hard working and industrious, laboring under the sun, under the heat, laboring to produce the fruit of the field, and his produce was his pride and joy. However, it was in that very fact that he developed a problem. A problem that became his downfall. He began to think, you know, what a great guy I am. God must surely smile upon my progress. And so he said to himself, I'll bring to God an offering that I have worked exceedingly hard to produce. You see, that is the way it is today with modern man, who wants to do his best. He wants to work hard at being a family man, at being a community person, at being a church attending person. And he puts his effort into it.
and he does his very best thinking,
that in the final result, it will gain him the favor and acceptance of God.
He thinks that by his works, he can satisfy God and procure a place in heaven.
All the time, the unerring, inspired word of the Lord says this, that by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
You see, if we could work our way to heaven, then perhaps one person might try to outdo the other. And eventually, if they managed to arrive in heaven, they could boast or glory in how they got there, in what they accomplished, in what they did. But the Bible says that no flesh shall glory in the presence of God. That is why the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, the great salvation is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his mercy he has saved us. It is all of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Man has nothing whatsoever to contribute to it. It is not of the will of man, it is not of the will of the flesh, but of God.
You remember some weeks ago we were looking at the new heaven and the new earth. And those who will populate the eternal state will give God all the glory eternally. They have taken the sinner's place, and they have trusted the sinner's Saviour. You see, it is illustrated in that story that Jesus told about the two men who went up to the temple to pray. Now, one of them was a Pharisee, a very religious person. He was substituting religion for relationship with God. And he began to pray, and it was all self-centered, it was all about himself. And you could imagine his words if he was on earth today. He's speaking about his works and his achievements. I'm not like other men. I'm a cut above, I'm better than anybody else. I'm into self-denial. I fast twice a week. I observe Lent. I only eat fish on Fridays. I observe the Feast of Ramadan. I'm a philanthropist. I give my money to the poor. I subscribe to Christian Aid, Dr. Spinardo's, Cancer Research, and all the rest. I'm a family man, not an adulterer. I respect the marriage union. And then he says, I'm not an extortioner. I don't sell indulgences to buy a soul out of purgatory. As for that no good tax collector, thank God, I have a reputable position in the community. I'm a pillar of society. I'm not like him. What a good boy am I. The other man, he's carrying a heavy burden of guilt. His life was wrong and he knew it. Furthermore, he knew he could do nothing to save himself. But rather he fell on the mercy of God and he cried out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he was the one who obtained salvation. Jesus said that instead of the religious hypocrite, that man went down to his home justified before God. Now the Bible asks the question, how can a man be just with God?
How can a person eventually stand before the Almighty, acquitted of all charges, cleared of all guilt, under no condemnation? The answer, given by the Old Testament prophet, and repeated three times by the New Testament apostle, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews, is that the just shall live by faith. That was the great text that Martin Luther revelled in. He said, the just shall live by faith, and he added, faith in Christ alone. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where we read tonight in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and wherefore was declared to be righteous. The big difference between the two men, Cain and Abel, was that Cain brought an offering, but Abel came by sacrifice. What was in Abel's presentation that made it more acceptable than Cain's? Well, you see, Abel came by blood, but Cain came by works. His was the first bloodless religion. And today, there are those who still preach a bloodless gospel. A false gospel, which God says is a curse. You know, if the works of our own hands could obtain the divine favor, there would never have been any need for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the world and to go to the cross and to shed his blood for sinners on the center tree. The only explanation for that blood-stained, disfigured person on Calvary's cross is the explanation that is given in the Bible, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The poet said, on the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. Yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. Yet while others build in good works, or opinions if they may, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. As I have said already, Cain substituted religion for relationship with God. And to those who follow in his pathway, the Bible says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. If you're listening to my voice tonight, and the only thing you have is religion, and you know nothing about relationship with God, God has proclaimed a woe upon you. And unless you repent and trust in the sacrifice of Christ for salvation, you will be forever lost in hell. The thing that makes the difference between heaven and hell is not our religion, but the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now you might say to me, but surely, as you preach the word tonight, that in itself is a religious exercise. No, no. I am not a religious person. The Christians here are not religious people. We have been redeemed by precious blood, and we have a relationship with God. That is something totally different. We are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. One man who learned that lesson was a prominent religious leader in the days of Jesus, and his name was Nicodemus. He came one night for a private consultation with the Lord, and he began to trot out all those religious platitudes. But Jesus politely cut him short and stopped him in full flow.
and pointed out that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When you and I were born into this world, we were born in sin, the Bible says. To be prepared for the next world, we need to be born of the Spirit of God into God's family. You see, Nicodemus was a sincere man, but he wasn't a saved man. Cain was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. Nicodemus repented and he found Christ. Cain was unrepentant and he lost his soul. Now mind you, mark this. Cain didn't lose his soul because he didn't believe in God. He was neither an atheist nor an agnostic. He was not lost because he was an outstanding sinner previous to murdering his brother. But he was lost because he chose his way rather than God's way. He would no doubt have been taught the way of salvation and acceptance by his father and mother, who when they fell in the Garden of Eden and were naked and exposed to the eye of God, through a sacrifice, God provided them with coats of skin and made them acceptable before him. Speaking, of course, of the work of Christ upon the cross, who died for our salvation that we might be clothed in the garments of salvation. God made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the poet said, Robert Murray B. Sheehan, when I stand before the throne, clothed in garments not my own, when I see thee as thou art, lovely with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I have. You know, Cain thought he could take his own way and get away with it. Many people today, many of them ignorantly and unaware, are doing the same. The Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Isaiah 53 makes it clear that the fundamental problem of the human heart is that we have taken the wrong road. It's a very popular road. It's a broad and crowded highway, but it ends in destruction. And Isaiah says, like sheep, we have all gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. What man needs today is to do a spiritual U-turn. Sometimes when I'm driving on an unknown road and I don't know the way and I use my sat-nav, I might make a wrong turn not heeding the instructions I was given, and I get a message at the first opportunity, make a U-turn. Well, the Bible is God's spiritual sat-nav for humanity on the road of life. The letters B-I-B-L-E represent basic instructions before leaving earth. And it tells us that the only way to get from the broad way of ruin to the narrow way of life is to turn to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. He alone is God's way to man. He alone is man's way to God. Men will talk about many ways of getting to God. But God says that there is no salvation in any other person or program apart from Christ. For there's no other name through which the sons of men can find salvation. As our brother reminded us in prayer tonight, anyone can be saved. Realizing they are sinners in need of a Savior, and then turning to Christ, the Lamb of God, depending alone on Him for salvation. Religion says that you must work for salvation. That's what Cain did. But the Bible says the work is done. That on the cross, Jesus did it all. And all we need is to trust in Him. Lay your deadly being down at Jesus' feet. Rest in Him and Him alone, gloriously complete. It is finished, yes indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? The work of Christ in Calvary has satisfied God on account of sin. God is eternally satisfied that the sin question has been fully dealt with and will never need to be gone into again.
Amen.
The only thing that remains outstanding is for a man or woman, boy or girl, to receive Christ as their personal Savior. And whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And as I have said in this platform many times, in the final analysis, man will not be condemned because he has sinned, but because he has rejected Christ as a Savior. Today we are not faced with the sin question. We are faced with the son question. It was the prophet Haggai many years ago. He spoke to the people of the day in which he lived. And he said to them, consider your ways. And I would ask each person listening to my voice tonight, wherever you may be found, in whatever circumstance, in whatever situation, in whatever corner of the earth, are you sure that you are on the way that leads to heaven? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone.
Amen.
The way to heaven is straight and plain. Repent, believe, be born again. If you are not on that road, take it kindly from me that you are on the way of Cain, and it's going to end your soul in everlasting hell, eventually the lake of fire. The Bible says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now the way of Cain is a way of falsehood. Cain, you know, was living a lie. And when he tried to lie to God, he tried to cover up his sin, he discovered that he might fool man, but he couldn't fool God. There was a woman in the Bible many years later, and she said this. She said, thou God seest me. And a person might put up a great front and a religious exterior and give the impression that everything is well. But God looks beyond that outward veneer. He looks into the human heart and He comes to this solemn conclusion that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jesus said that from within the human heart proceed all manners of evil. You see the evil that is in our world today. And it's getting worse. The persons who drive a vehicle into a crowd of people to cause damage and take life. The person who plants a bomb in the midst of a crowd and numerous folk lost their lives. The military powers that threaten the world today with nuclear war. You know where it all originates? It's within the human heart. Earth's problems are not a social disorder. They are not a political disorder. It's the heart of man that needs to be changed. And only when man is changed from the inside out will there be a change in his behavior and in his activity. But instead, man tries to fool God. Hear what the Word of God says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Those who sow to sin and to their own way will reap the end of everlasting ruin. All religion is a deception and a fraud. You know, it doesn't matter what religion you care to mention. I'm not going to mention any of them. But there's multitudes of them in the world today. And every single one of them have this one root from which they spring. And that is the desire to do something to get right with God. The attempt to achieve something. To gain salvation by our works and our efforts. I remember back in the 60s, famous French pop singer Francois Hardy walked the streets of Paris with her shoes filled with little pieces of rock and cut her feet to shreds. And someone questioned her why. She said she did it to get peace with God. I know. That will never bring peace with God. He hath made peace by the blood of his cross. And if we want to be strictly accurate, a man cannot make his peace with God. But Christ has made peace on our behalf if we receive him as our personal Savior. The only salvation is in the redemptive work of Christ. But then, Cain's way is not only the way of falsehood, it's the way of futility. You see, true faith made Abraham a pilgrim and stranger on the earth. False religion made Cain a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, a man on the run, who had no rest or peace. For there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And eventually, all who follow Cain's way will discover that the wicked are turned into hell, along with the nations that forget God. Solomon said one day, I saw the wicked buried. You know, the wicked that he saw buried weren't the terrorists, the gunmen, the gamblers, the immoral persons. They were the wicked that had come and gone from the place of the holy. They had gone to the temple, they had gone to the synagogue, they had gone to the mosque, they had gone to all sorts of religious places, but they weren't right with God, and in God's sight they were wicked. And God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He would rather that they would repent. That's why we have a gospel to preach tonight. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come unto repentance. Our God is God who will of all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But if a person doesn't repent and turn to God, God has no other option than to confine them to everlasting
lasting ruin. Of the human race outside of Christ, the Bible says in Romans 3, the way of peace they have not known. The old preachers used to say, and rightly so, that you either turn or burn. And then again, the way of Cain, way of falsehood, way of futility, but it was a way of fear. Cain said with fearful heart, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And I believe that that may well be the language of multitudes on the other side who have died without Christ. Men who were dressed in the garments of religion and stood on church pulpits and told people that there was no need for this born-again experience. Just do the best you can. Live a good life. Don't harm your neighbor. And God will eventually look favorable upon you. What an awakening when they go out into eternity without salvation. Surely they will cry, my punishment is greater than I can bear. With Cain there was no repentance. There was no remorse. Just eternal resentment. God's hand was against him. And the unending torment would eternally be his. Now get this. You who are depending on religion. The founder of religion, Cain by name, is today lost in hell. Will you follow him, or will you receive and follow Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, who took your punishment, that he might procure your pardon. And whatever judgment our sins deserve, whatever banishment our soul deserves, whatever depths of darkness and hell should have been our portion, my Jesus bore it all on the cross, and then triumphantly he shouted, it is finished! The work's done! All you have to do is believe it and be saved. Adore him, adore him. The glorious work is done. The Father will not punish me. 'Twas laid upon his Son. 'Tis finished, cried his suffering soul, and I my title see. I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. You see, the Lamb died and his blood was shed for Abel. And Abel was accepted with God. Christ died for the whole world. His blood was shed to pay the price of all, and there's no limited atonement. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Who might be listening to this tonight? I know not. In Africa, in India, in Hong Kong, Australia, in the Arab Emirates, in Europe, America, I don't know. But whoever you are, wherever you are, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ was on the cross for you. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That whosoever, and that just means you, me, and everybody else, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It only takes a cry. From the guilty, repentant heart, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And on the basis of the finished work of Calvary, you're accepted in the person of Christ. You've got to make a choice as to the way you're traveling, as to the destination that you're going to be in. Either the road of ruin or the road of redemption. Heaven with Christ or hell without him. Religion or relationship with God. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. And let the scripture speak again as I finish. Woe to them that have gone
in the way of Cain. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word and ask Thy blessing upon it. Somewhere someone may well listen to this message and needs to know the way of righteousness. We pray that Thy Holy Spirit will take Thy word of truth and apply it to that heart. And grant, Father, that even though we might never find out about it in time, that we would have the joy in eternity of meeting someone who through the broadcast of Thy word found Christ and passed from death to life. Grant Thy blessing, our Father, to this end, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing a closing hymn from Redemption Songs, please. Number 330.